Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and the salubrious all wrapped up into one tasty, tempting treat? I know that you are, and I know you know. That means it's time once again for another Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike, and you know, so often I am asked, hey, Dr. Mike, you've brought out my inner chef, but where do I go from here? I want to learn to cook. All those things that you share with Chef Luca on Culinary CPR, I want to make them. Where do I go to learn the tricks of the trade? Well, folks, I can recommend no better program than the one where yours truly is faculty, and that is the Missoula College Culinary Arts Program. Head on over to mc.umt.edu. Once again, that's mc.umt.edu. Just click on the Business Technology tab, look up the culinary program there. Chef Campbell has put together an award-winning, certified, outstanding program where one day you can aspire to be as famous and as great a chef as our next guest, which is the incomparable, inimitable Chef Luca Paris. You know him, you love him, you've seen him on Food Network. He practically owns the thing, dominated Guy's Grocery Games. He's executive chef and owner of Luca's Mediterranean Cafe, the market at Luca's Culinary Catering. What you may not know, he's got his own weekly radio show, What's Cooking with Luca Paris. Thursdays, you want to tune into that. He's also a monthly guest on Cook's Corner segment on ABC's WMUR Channel 9 in New England, where he has been a restaurateur of the year. And now you can watch A Culinary Journey with Luca Paris on his YouTube channel. And that's a big thing since the announcement of YouTube TV. So you definitely want to learn how to do that. Chef. Thanks once again. We are humbled by your presence. Great one.
You know, you do know that I tell you this all the time, that every time I listen to you, I'm expecting someone else to come on the line and talk to you, because I don't know who that guy is. I just like having fun every day. So it's great to be on, man. It's always good to see what you're doing and out there. And we are just going on our little culinary journey, you and I, to talk about good food, have some fun, and just see what's next. Today is fun. We're going to talk a little bit about Moroccan chickpea soup with a chicken stock. It's a real simple soup. You and I have talked forever. We always seem to have a conversation about soup somewhere in our whole monologue or dialogue that we have. And we go, oh, we should talk about soup sometime. And so, you know what? Let's talk about soup. And talk about flavorful soups, you know, not just throwing some vegetables in a pan and put some water on it, and then hopefully you get something. Or even worse, and you know how I feel about
that. I know where you're going.
You open up one of those cans and pour it in and warm it up. Don't do it, man. I will tell you, I could put as much salt as I want into a soup, and it'll still never catch up to what you're buying out there right now. And it's so easy. Here's one of my favorite things to do, and we'll get into that, this soup, in a second. But one of my favorite things to do is that I'm not home all the time. I'm usually at the restaurant, or if I'm traveling, or if I'm doing this or that. And then when I do get home, I'll go into the refrigerator, and I'll open up the vegetable drawer. And it never fails. Lindy always buys too many vegetables for the week or the couple of weeks, right? And they're starting to go. And, you know, in the beginning, I'd watch her throw some away or whatever, and they're not bad by any stretch of the imagination, but they're breaking down and what have you. So one time I got home, and it was a Sunday morning, but I got up before everybody else. I took all the vegetables out of there, and I found some beans, and I found this, and I found that. And I find that it's just for fun. And I threw a soup together. And she comes down. She goes, my God, that smells delicious. And she goes, where'd you get all this stuff? I said, oh, honey, it was right here in the drawer. And she goes, that's it? And I said, yeah, of course. Why? What else is there to do? And she's made soups. Trust me, my wife's an excellent cook. She doesn't. But there's sometimes she'll look at things and go, I don't know if I want to use. I said, sweetie, you understand how good all this stuff is. Throw it away, first of all, is a sin. Second of all, we can make an incredible soup and some tomato in there. All of a sudden, we have some fresh herbs, and boom, it's a home run. Soups are so easy to make. If you go to buy that can, or you can make a soup out of some vegetables. Make the soup out of some vegetables. Trust me on this. I'll even let you buy a good organic chicken broth instead of making your own to make the soup. But please try to make your own soups. It's so easy, and we're going to show you a quick recipe that you're really going to love.
Yeah, you know, and you're a kinder taskmaster than me, because I'm not letting them buy a stock, because you open that can, you're getting a lot of them still, you're getting the BPAs, and you're just not getting anything
that I'm scared.
It's what's, one of those things that they talk about, you know, that were in the water bottles and the other plastics.
They're often in
those kind of cans, and they've been associated with one of the contaminants that, because, you know, not just through our food, but, you know, through the packaging and everything else, one expert had told to me that the average person in the course of their day comes into contact with over 80,000 different potentially harmful chemical compounds. And so why in the world would you, you know, run the risk of ingesting these things when you don't need to? And there's no reward. There's no upside, because, as you said, soup is easy. And when you make it at home, you know, it just tastes so much better. And folks are all, the folks are always looking for, hey, what's the one pot thing? Where can I throw some stuff in and not have to worry about it? And it's not going to necessarily challenge, you know, me with making a tournée cut, you know, on this vegetable, you know,
right,
et cetera. It's soup. I mean, since, you know, and you've read Ancient Eats, and so much of the foods were soups and stews and those sorts of things. Why? Because that's what, and folks, if you think that any restaurant is using the first finest line of their vegetables and stuff to make the soup that you're ordering for the soup of the day, you're sadly mistaken.
Soups are always made with
when the vegetables just start to fade a little bit, you know, they're good, but they got a couple of days, just like you said. That's a time, hey, we're going to run a special on, you know, potato and leek soup, because our leeks are looking a little shaggy.
Here's the perfect thing. What I love doing, especially when the farmer's market really get into full swings around this area, I will love to go buy, and they always have the seconds or stuff that they can't sell or whatever, just not perfect, and I don't know why people don't get those, because to me it's the greatest thing in the world. But I'll buy all that, and I know that's what they're doing at home. They're keeping all the stuff that's not the best looking or a little bit bruised. I'll say, hey, what do you got you want to get rid of? Because I know what I'm doing with that. So whether it's a cream soup or a vegetable soup or what have you, it's all delicious. There's nothing different between that one that got a little bruised and the one that you're getting perfect. So give me that one, and I'll make great stuff out of it. And like we always say, it's a shame to let it go to waste anyway. So let's use it.
Well, that's you just brought out a great, because the other thing that you hear a lot is folks like, well, you know, it sounds great, you know, Doc, to go out and buy all that, but, you know, I'm on a budget and the money's tight and this and that. Hey, that's where you can get your bargains. Like you said, you know, all the zucchinis are coming in. Well, that means the price of the zucchinis, through simple competition, because they're at all the stalls, that price is going to be reduced. And when you're looking at a batch that's got a couple bruises, they're less than perfect, and you want to take them home that night, you know, and fire up a soup, you could probably get them for next to nothing. So you're talking about powerful, powerful economics. And so that is a shopping tip. Folks, I want you to pay attention to Chef here. This is how chefs source. This is how he can get you this high-quality, incredibly delicious, ultimately powerfully nutritious food to serve you at his restaurant, and he could still make a buck, you know, because he's a smart, smart shopper. And I saw that, you know, on your episode of Guy's Grocery Games, where you had to be a smart shopper, and obviously you won.
I don't know how smart I was. I think I was a little white out. I couldn't see anything, so I just threw stuff in bags. Trust me, man. I don't know how smart I was, but it really is that. I think you could. I don't want people to, and this is just, it's tough to say, because you always want to find the best ingredients, right? I mean, that's, you go for the best ingredients first and work your way there.
But It's still, it's still quality.
Exactly.
And there's, as you said, there's no difference in the quality if it's got, you know, if it's got a little bruise or a little blemish. Now, if you were serving them at a Michelin restaurant, you might not be able to serve that with the blemish because it's got a little imperfection. But when you're chopping it up to put in a soup, or you can just cut, you know, that little bruised area away and the rest of it's perfect. Well, now you're talking about, you know, just a gold mine. In terms of the, you know, the economics that you're going to save. And that's the way you smart, you shop very smartly. What you're sharing, you know, is how, you know, chefs source. And that's what we want to get folks to do. Don't just buy, you know, the carrots that were cut last week in a bag because you're afraid you don't really know how to cut carrots very well. You know, get the deformed weird ones at the farmer's market nobody wants, you know, and put them in the soup.
Or better yet, get a CSA little plot of land in your in one of your farms and go help pick it and say, these are the ones I want, and nobody else wants them. Take them. And you can make great so many great things with it. So today's soup is really simple, and it's all about flavor. Now, in the recipe, you're going to see I have what's called a tagine spice blend. Now, tagine is not a spice. It's a blend that tagine itself is a cooking process, and also the name of the bowl when you make a stew, a Moroccan stew. So it's a vegetable stew, lamb stew, you name it, a chicken. And it's basically vegetables, a couscous, a lot like a risotto concept or a paella, more like a paella, where it's all cooked in this tagine pot. So we created a spice blend because I have a Mediterranean restaurant, and our restaurant, feature the flavors of France, Italy, and Spain, but I love Moroccan food for its intense and amazing flavor. So we started putting our own little spice blend together. Now, I sell it, but I don't really do marketing everywhere. It's just something I use here, and I have it blended for me now by a local spice merchant, which is really cool to have in New Hampshire, but that's a whole nother show. Anyway, so we're gonna, when you go through the recipe and you read this, it's going to have something as simple as, you know, chicken breast and chicken stock and chickpeas or garbanzo beans, potatoes, onions, fennel, all those ingredients, some fresh cilantro for the freshness, some more chopped onions for scallions for fresh as well. And it's really simple with the spice blend. Now, I wrote the recipe with chicken breast because that's what people like. We go back to that whole concept. Heck, you could roast off a whole chicken and use all the chicken itself. It's going to be a little bit more economical also. I love chicken thigh in this as well. Whatever you want to use for your chicken, go for it. As long as it's a good quality chicken, you could cook it ahead of time or you could saute it like we show you in here. But let's talk about the spice blend, the Moroccan spice blend. It's the main flavors you're going to get in that: cumin and coriander, cinnamon, a little bit of cayenne. You don't. It all depends. Like curries, it can be spicy,
right,
but it cannot be as well. Cumin, coriander, a dark chili powder, three major ingredients. In my spice blend, you'll also have a little bit of ground ginger, black pepper, and salt. Not heavy on the salt. It's more less of a salt blend than it is a flavor blend. Of course, ground coriander, ground cinnamon, cayenne, a little bit of allspice. That's the basic to this. You'll find different, and you could buy a Moroccan blend, or you could take what you normally have and put a blend together.
Yeah,
a teaspoon of each will get you a wonderful blend.
And what you really mentioned, in some areas, and like you said, it's a curry, and so many folks are under the impression that a curry is like one thing, and there's this, you know, one recipe in stone. The best analogy I have for folks in the States is think of it as you might think of barbecue, right? So
exactly.
If you went to North Carolina, there's, you know, everyone's got their different version of the North Carolina, you know, barbecue. And then you go to South Carolina and, you know, maybe it's a little more mustard based. Well, you go to Nashville, it's completely different. You go to KC and all of a sudden it's, you know, kind of smoky and sweet. They're all barbecue. They're all U.S. barbecue. But, you know, even within the regions, everybody's got their proprietary blend. And so cultures across the world and certainly places like India and Morocco, et cetera, it's the same phenomenon. And so you will go to one village and, you know, there may be some heat from the chilies. You go to another village and maybe it's a little more heavy on the turmeric, you know, et cetera. what you mentioned was almost exactly, you know, what I would have in my Moroccan, my tangine spice. I might add a little green cardamom to mom, but otherwise, you know, it's almost exactly the same. So you're just looking for a flavor profile that you like. So if you absolutely hate cloves, you know, don't put them in there. You're free to experiment. And that, I think that's one of the beauty of working with your own blends. Or you go to Lucas restaurant, you have this dish and you say, oh my God, I absolutely love this spice blend. Then you can just pick up, you know, 4 cases or so of his spice blend, you know, take it home and start making the soup.
Exactly. And like you talked about, it's, if you're doing your own, you know, I mentioned ground coriander, ground cinnamon, you know, ground allspice. If you are the kind of person that gets all these in their whole form and you toast them a little bit, then you grind them with a grinder, oh my gosh, what a different flavor you get to this. I mean, you have the ability to change this to an iconic spice that's just to you, just by balancing how much clove you want or how much allspice or how much cinnamon, and then you eventually figure it out. Now, not everyone's going to spend as much time as we did trying to figure out the perfect spice blend. I mean, I think we tried a good 25 times. Every time we did it, we added something different or changed the ratio.
And that's the beauty of picking up something like yours that's, you know, freshly ground, you know, made locally, so you know you're getting fresh spices, right. You know you're getting a quality of spices. And like you said, if you just want to have some on hand, and they have access to something like the cafe where they can go in and get that. Hey, that's a beautiful thing. I just want to also mention, you know, when you talk about health benefits, you look at the combination of these types of spices. And folks, you know, you can see these supplements you can buy. You can buy curcumin. You can buy turmeric as a supplement. You know,
right.
if you feel you need it for a condition, that's great. But I'll tell you what. This is a heck of a tasty way to get the health benefits of, you know, these different spices. Cinnamon, which is Dr. Oz's, you know, wonder
right.
spice. And one thing that's very important, and you'll see it in Moroccan, Indian cooking, which I find absolutely fascinating. I think you and I have talked about this before, is turmeric is incredibly powerful because it has a curcumin in it, a very powerful antioxidant, et cetera, et cetera. But it has a very short bioavailability, sort of active half-life, unless it is combined with black pepper. And when there's fresh ground pepper, the piperine in the black pepper increases the potency of the curcumin in the turmeric by about over 2,500%. So
wow.
You're talking just a huge increase. Somehow the ancients knew this, and you always see, you know, black pepper and turmeric together, and it's a taste combination that you'll absolutely love. But if you're going to put turmeric in yours, if you're going to blend your own, make sure you add a little fresh ground black pepper as well.
Hey, see, I learn something every day thanks to you. We're golden. This works out perfect.
we're turmeric yellow.
Huh?
We're that turmeric golden yellow.
Oh, yeah. I love that. So let's go back to the soup real quick, and because we'll run through this recipe. People are going to go home and make it right now. Or if you are home and you're listening, it's a real simple recipe, and I'm not doing anything crazy. So it's a gallon of chicken stock, preferably making your own. But if you get it, as long as it's organic, good quality, always try to buy the best with that. 4 breasts of skinless chicken diced up. A quart of chickpeas, garbanzo beans. I don't know how you feel about it. Getting dry, of course, and then soaking it and bringing it up or can. I don't know where your feeling is on that. I use a lot of canned chickpeas.
I don't know if everybody can get these, but I've come across a source that's just a regular grocery store that I think makes a phenomenal visual with this soup. And there's a heritage heirloom type of chickpea that is black.
No way.
So I was just thinking, yeah, I'm just thinking in this soup, you know, to have
that would be cool.
That contrast of the colors, because, you know, like you said, you're going to have some bright greens.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have the potatoes. You're going to have the yellow and white from the onions and fennel. And the chicken meat is white. And then you have this, you know, sort of, it's very black and white with the contrast from those chickpeas. I just think that would be a stunning visual. And of course, there's always a benefit that we're finding to consuming these types of heirloom vegetables, often higher and very different types of phytochemicals, etc.
Well, I'm looking it up right after the show. I'm gonna look for some black chickpeas.
I will send you. You and I are always in contact, and I'll send you the name and the supplier.
Perfect. So you have the chickpeas. We have four sweet potatoes, small and diced. Small diced. Three onions, small diced. Two bulbs of fresh fennel, small diced. If you don't like fennel, it's a fennel seed. It's totally different as a fresh product. I replace it a lot of times as instead of celery in items when I want to get that kind of light anise flavor. It's not overly anise like the seed would be. It's really impressive, and the crunch is there. It's beautiful. The spice blend, the Moroccan spice blend, to taste as much as you like. A bunch of fresh cilantro chopped. Always have to have some fresh herbs somewhere in the dish, near the end especially. Chopped scallions to garnish that we'll do later. Salt and pepper, I always say to taste. So basically, in a large pan, you're going to saute the chicken breast with the tajine blend, cumin, coriander, chili powder. If that's all you have, you could use just that. But you could, the more flavors you add to that, the better it's going to be. When a chicken is cooked, I remove it and set it aside because I don't want to boil this chicken if I'm doing it as a sauteed breast. If I was using a whole chicken and wanting to shred it in the soup, I might do it a little differently where I'd cook it and get a lot of that, you know, in and of itself, all the juices and the fat from that added to the soup are just going to add more flavor. In the same pan, we're going to saute the onions, the potatoes, the fennel, till kind of translucent. Here's something I always want to talk about. I've seen people that just throw vegetables in the water and then just let it cook down. Although good, it doesn't do the same thing as just sauteing out more flavor. You could sweat it where they're pretty much going to be light colored, so you're not really caramelizing. Or you could cook them down a little bit more, but just get a little bit of cook. Start that cooking process. Brings out so much more flavor. I like it better. Add the chickpeas, chicken stock, simmer for only 15 minutes. We're talking about a quick soup here. Add the cooked chicken, the fresh cilantro. It's a light, brothy soup with a lot of flavor if you think you need some more cumin and coriander or the spice blend that goes great. I love to hold it to the next day. I always make soup the day before and let it all come together. You simmer it, cook it down a little bit. There's some starch from the potatoes that are just going to let out and then help thicken. If you feel like you want to thicken a little bit longer, let it cook a little bit more, and it'll just come down and reduce in the amount of chicken stock that's in there. Simmer that salt and pepper to taste. Hold it. Next day, put it back on the stove. Simmer it a little bit more. Salt and pepper again just to make sure your taste is right because your taste buds change from day to day as far as what, you know, if it's one of the first things you're tasting, it's going to be bow, it's going to pow, you're going to get all this flavor, you know it's there. And if you need to reseason, reseason. But simple, do some chopped scallions and maybe some more fresh cilantro on top. Really, really quick and easy dish to get the flavor of Moroccan soups in your wheelhouse. From that,
I love the flavor profile. And I was going to say, and I was going to ask you, because I think this is a great thing once you've kind of cooked this up and you've sweated it out. You know, folks are looking for that one pot, you know, sort of for the next day. This is certainly something you could put, you know, in a slow cooker on low and just let it go. Would that be okay to do that with this recipe?
I totally believe it. I love letting soups cook for hours on a slow cooker. I think, and that's a new thing for me too. I mean, I've always said they're great for reheating and I never really used it, but the amount of things my wife has been showing me that she cooks in the slow cooker, and I'm tasting it, and I'm like, wow, this is really good. And she'll explain what she did. I'm like, this is perfect. So soups are a perfect thing like that where you fix it, forget it, and you come back, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours later when you get home, you have a perfect soup. And you could start it that morning, and that night you have soup for everybody, and it's warm and ready to go. So if you could do that, definitely. Like I said, this is the basis for where you start. And what you do to this and how you change it with the same flavor profiles, maybe you add a little bit more of that Moroccan blend while you're sauteing your vegetables, which is amazing. But, you know, and see where that power blend, how much it you want it to really strike a chord. Because you want those flavors to kind of waft into your nose right before you eat it. And then when you're eating the soup, you want it to be there but not overpowering. So you need to find that right blend of what you like. And those Moroccan flavors, even for picky eaters, once they get a hint of this, they're going to go back to it again and again and go, why is this so good? And then I could show you a lot of other things. We could do 20 shows about what to do with that Moroccan blend just to enhance items without even calling it Moroccan. But this curry blend, this little flavor enhancement could go on chicken, on fish, on anything you could think of, even on a burger, which comes out great on a burger, but we'll talk about that another time. And you'd absolutely love it.
Oh yeah, that actually did a grilled lamb steak. I got a great unique cut of lamb, you know, from our craft butcher. Essentially, you know, a shoulder cut of the lamb shoulder, and so I pounded out the steaks and then grilled them using almost exactly what you said here. And I just want to add, you know, for the culinarily adventurous. And if you want to be really economical, when you're making the chicken stock, I break down my chickens and I take the breast out and the legs and thighs and the quarters. And then we have the carcass. And when we make the chicken stock, we use the chicken carcass. Well, when you finish with that carcass, there's always a ton of meat that you can just pick off. And it's already the shredded chicken. And I use a couple of carcasses, you know, when I'm making, you know, several gallons of stock. And so you could take that and just turn it around right in here, and it'd be very, very economical.
Oh, without a doubt. And if you don't just jump on it and eat it first, it should be in there as well.
Absolutely. Chef, thanks so much for taking us across the Mediterranean today to North Africa for a little little Moroccan. Folks, you can find out more about Chef Luke on ChefLukeOfParis.com. And I want to say to you, until we meet again, may the only pain in your life be champagne.